My name's Beth Kirshner. I've been involved with Sakai pretty much since its inception. I've worked with internationalization, more recently with the open source portfolio, and I've worked with applying Sakai as a collaboration portal with research projects here at the University of Michigan. The internationalization and the open source portfolio projects might not seem to have a lot in common other than being projects within Sakai, but they actually do. They both have a large international community. They both were not an initial part of Sakai, but are now a big integral part of the project. They both rely on contributions from developers, from user interface designers, and from the users themselves. And they both benefit from enlightened self-interest, where an institution focuses on its local needs and maybe a little bit on the community needs, and the community as a whole comes up with a great solution. So looking at project management of these two projects, I can boil it down to three different focus areas. One would be the technical development. Another would be planning, vision, direction. And lastly would be communication and collaboration. Now, these three areas got me thinking of a hobby of mine, which is flying small single-engine airplanes. When you first learn how to fly an airplane, one of the first things you learn when you are a single pilot flying a plane with a single engine is you need to aviate. That means you need to learn how to fly the plane and only fly the plane. You don't want to have the airspeed going too high, or you don't want it going too slow. You don't want to fly into any clouds where you might get lost, and you certainly don't want to crash into the ground. But once you have that under control, you can move on to the next aspect of flying, which is navigation. You need to know where you are, where you're going. You need to make sure you don't fly into any restricted areas. And once you have that under control, you can move on to the last aspect of flying, which is communication. This is where you call your air traffic controller and state your intentions. You can call flight service and get updates on weather information. You can talk to fellow pilots and share your intentions in the airspace. So these three areas, when you're flying a single airplane as a single pilot with a single engine, have to be done in a very specific order to be safe, because you need to maximize your resources, and the resources is one. But that's where it differs from Sakai and the Sakai community, because we don't have just one resource to leverage. We have a whole community, so we can work on the technical aspects, and we can work on the design, and we can work on the communication and collaboration, and we can leverage the whole community on this. We can distribute this so that those institutions can focus on what they do best, and then the whole community will benefit. Okay, another translation problem. Internationalization started in 2005 when the University of Lleida in Spain stepped up to localize the entire Sakai source tree. Up to that time, the Sakai project was only intended for institutions in the United States, and the English was hard-coded in the code and hard-coded in all the presentation forms, and was not in any, it was just not ready at all for an international audience. So University of Lleida did this great, like, I think in about 6 weeks, they took all the English phrases and they localized it, which means pull them out of the code and put them in properties files, which is in a separate place that is accessible to translators and non-technical people so that they can make Sakai ready for different languages. As a result of this, as you saw in a slide earlier, we have institutions now all over the world in almost every continent except for Antarctica. Going back to 2005, again, University of Lleida localized the entire Sakai code base, and that led us to the ability to translate Sakai into three initial translations, which included Japanese, Chinese, and Korean. This was due to an interest in a research project here in the United States which focused on earthquake engineering, and they were interested in making a portal for simulation and collaboration of earthquake research accessible to researchers on both sides of the Pacific, so in California and Oregon, as well as Japan and China and Korea. While this was initially a big step forward, it did also highlight a number of problems. There were difficult phrase translations, subject, verb, object ordering in one language is not necessarily the same in another. Space allocation, you might have titles and content that might fill up the screen real estate just fine in English, but when translated to another language, it displays poorly. And then, of course, there are numerous cultural dependencies. In 2005, Nagoya University contributed a dynamic language preference module, which allowed Sakai institutions not to be tied to just one single translation, but allowed users to specify a preference so that one Sakai instance could switch based on user preference between Japanese and English, or French, or Spanish, or Catalan. And this led to additional adoption by other translations, including Spanish, Catalan, French, and Swedish. In 2007, we continue to go through a process of fine-tuning the internationalization of Sakai. While we took care of some of the major problems, there still were a number of remaining problems that the community brought up. This includes mistakes, content localization, differences in date-time format, page and tool titles which were not being translated, and difference in orientation, right-to-left languages, were a requirement. Based on community input, much of these problems have already been addressed, and the remaining ones are being worked on right now. Another success of 2007 would be the community was much more aware of international needs. It was no longer just a core group of people within certain institutions that cared about internationalization. We had developers from all over the United States and the UK and Europe, and every participating institution started bringing up these issues without me needing to advocate for them. And it was very exciting. We received patches and contributions to the Sakai project itself, which made the Sakai project more accessible to an international audience. We received updated translations and also new translations in Arabic, Dutch, and Portuguese. At the 2007 Sakai conference in Amsterdam, we moved beyond just doing presentations of internationalization issues at different institutions, which were very valuable, but we also sat down and had some face-to-face collaborative meetings just to identify what were the key issues still remaining for the community and what we can do as a community to address these in an efficient manner. In 2008, we've had 70 bug fixes and enhancements incorporated into Sakai addressing internationalization, and also new translations in Brazilian, Portuguese, and Russian. And the contributions are continuing. We continue to get localization patches or fixes, which can be merged back into the code base. We have changed the process for how we accept translations, so it is not a single point of contact where we had to have translations emailed to me, and then I would have to merge them into the code base. What we've done is we found a way to distribute that so that individual translators have access to the directly to the Sakai code base and can check in translations for their particular language. This allows different institutions, for example, in Spain, are working on Spanish translation, and it really aids in their collaboration for getting the translation right. And also, the Japan is serving up a QA server for the community as well. So there's several tools which we've used for collaboration that have been quite useful. The foundation provides a number of these tools. The Confluence Wiki is a great starting place for international users. It's a great starting place for developers and for translators. We have information here that is updated by the community, and I started it, but it's not my page anymore. It's really been taken over, and we have information on how to translate Sakai, how to write tools that are internationalized and ready for the international community, and common problems with Unicode and other international issues. We have a contribution from the university in Amsterdam, which has given us an internationalization dashboard, which gives you a real simple way to take a look and find out what is the status of the translations in different languages. Again, these are all codes that are known to developers and maybe not so much to the wider community, but it tells us that Japanese and Portuguese and French have a very broad coverage in Sakai translations. And last but not least, email is still a key feature in collaboration. It's the place where people can ask questions, make suggestions, report problems. And everybody has email these days, and there's no you don't need to be a developer. We have people who feel free to use email to raise a number of issues and collaborate with other users who they may have never seen face to face. Managing properties files is another issue for the ongoing maintenance of translations. We need to keep track of what different which English phrases have changed over time so that they can be tracked and updated. And we have a couple of tools that can be used for this. One is a resource loader, which is an open source project, and another is a contribution from a university in St. Petersburg, Russia, which has developed an alternative way of tracking changes in properties files. So translators have choices, and they're good choices, and they're good tools. Another good tool is the JIRA tracking system, which is a good place where developers can look for issues which are international. They apply to internationalization. We have a category, a component dedicated to internationalization issues so that we can easily see what issues are remaining and what issues need to be addressed and what issues have been solved in each particular release. In the 2.5 release that came out today, we have over a dozen translations, which is almost double what we had a year ago. And there's more underway. We have Danish, German, Slovakian, Finnish, Vietnamese, Hebrew, Turkish, and Mongolian. We've been contacted about wanting to contribute translations in all of these languages. So I thought I'd take you on a quick tour through some of the Sakai installations in different languages. Here we have the University in Valencia in Spanish. Here we have Colombia in South America. Here we have China. And of course, University in Nagoya. And Portugal. So let me move on to the open source portfolio project in Sakai. It began in 2003 at the University of Minnesota. It became open source and received some Mellon funding. By 2006, OSP was added to Sakai. It joined the Sakai project as a provisional tool. Between 2006 and today, there have been weekly teleconferences between institutions that use and develop the open source portfolio. It's not, and the interesting thing is that the people on the calls are not purely developers. We have small institutions that have no developers, but that have a keen interest in seeing the open source portfolio applied to their needs. In 2008, the open source portfolio tool had matured to the point where it became a core tool in the Sakai project. There are several activities which the open source portfolio revolves around. These are collect, reflect, design and publish, guide, review and evaluation, and analyze. Now these are terms that, you know, may be familiar with some in the teaching community, but basically collect involves a student or a portfolio owner who collects digital artifacts. That means they are filling out structured forms, they are uploading documents that support their learning activity. Reflection is when the student again goes to these structured forms and reflects on their learning and writes about the experience. Jumping ahead to guide the open source portfolio provides tools to guide the user throughout all of these different activities, especially the design and publish phase, which allows users to take these artifacts that they've created and publish them in a sophisticated electronic portfolio. Review and evaluation is the process of providing formative feedback to the users and evaluations. And then lastly, analysis. Administrators like to take a look at all of this data and generate some reports to review it. So a portfolio user might be going through several circles of collect, reflect, design, and publish as they go through their academic career. Peer advisors could be graduate students or faculty, which will review and provide formative feedback. And then parallel to all this activity, we have administrators and researchers interested in analyzing the report data. So we have at least 16 institutions that are actively involved in the open source portfolio, either as developers or users, often as both. And just like the internationalization project, email is a very key tool for advancing collaboration in the open source portfolio. Also, the JIRA tracking system has been used quite successfully by all these different institutions. We write up enhancements, wish lists, bugs, and we put them into this JIRA tracking system. Now, individual institutions generally will work on those problems and issues that are key to their own local interests, but often there is extra developer time to look at some other problems that might be important to the community as a whole. So what we did is we used the voting system in the JIRA to allow different institutions to tally which problems were most important to their needs. And in the Sakai 2.5 release, we managed to solve all the top issues. In addition to all of these other collaborative forums, we found a need for face-to-face meetings. All these different institutions have very different applications of the open source portfolio, and it's quite useful to get us all together in the same room for a couple of days, which we do a couple of times a year outside of the Sakai conferences. So we've met in Phoenix, Arizona, Ann Arbor, Michigan last year, again in Amsterdam, and most recently in Indianapolis. The outcome of these summits has been to focus what the developer community will be working on in the open source portfolio for the next release or for the next 6 to 12 months. A number of community-wide proposals came out of these summits, including such thing as aggregated display of information from the open source portfolio. Authoring flexibility was greatly improved, and we came up with a community library to present samples and community learning that could be shared with other institutions on how to use the open source portfolio. This has proved to be so successful that it's broadened, so it's no longer called the Open Source Portfolio Community Library, but simply the Sakai Community Library, because there's a lot of other learning experiences that people would like to share with the community at large, and they want a forum of where they can put these. So most electronic portfolio implementations, while they differ from one institution to the other, focus on several areas. One would be personal representation, such as generating a resume, course projects, or self-presentation and artistic presentation. The second area would be teaching and learning, and this is probably the biggest area, connecting academic and real-world experiences, identifying knowledge and skills in relation to competencies, and integrating learning across disciplines over time. I've heard this from many teachers, that having students reflect on their learning experience truly just enriches their learning experiences and makes them a more successful learner. And lastly, assessment and accreditation. Accreditation is another important use of the open source portfolio to demonstrate and articulate skills and competencies, demonstrating outcomes, and illustrating learning over time. So at the University of Michigan, we have several e-portfolio projects with the School of Public Health, with the School of Social Work, and an undergraduate research outreach program. This is a matrix from the School of Public Health, where we have doctors in learning, residents who fill out forms relating to their experiences as a doctor in training. So they select the different cells within the matrix, and they come up with a structured page which has several forms for them to fill out relating to their experience. This is one such form. And once they finish filling out the matrix, they can use the tool itself to generate a sophisticated electronic portfolio, which they can use later in their professional life. And it also is useful for the teachers to take a look at what they've been doing. Another application of the open source portfolio is in the K-12 education. The state of Rhode Island, while it's maybe the smallest state in our country, it's still the entire state of Rhode Island, has adopted the open source portfolio for their structured learning. Students apply their understanding of standards to the learning process, teachers rate student performance, and the schools themselves gauge the success according to what the student has posted in the portfolio. These are some small examples of some e-portfolio sites from Rhode Island where students, again, can look at what they've done and assess the quality. They can also use the forms and the digital artifacts towards a graduation portfolio. Teachers use these portfolios to assess the effectiveness of their teaching, and the schools also have a similar purpose. So these are some graduation portfolios demonstrating what students learn in high school. The students assemble and display evidence of what they've been learning towards graduation. Schools and districts use this as a prerequisite for their graduation. And finally, this is a simple portfolio in the K-12 education system. This is an example, again, of when users can generate from the simple structured forms that they are guided through in the open source portfolio, they can generate an electronic portfolio demonstrating what they've learned. And when these students are engaged in generating these electronic portfolios, again, they become very excited and their learning experience is really enhanced. So finally, back to an aviation theme, the Sky Project really is nothing like a single engine, single pilot airplane. It's really something much bigger. Thank you.